Welcome to Progressive Pockets. I go by Gigi, that's short for Genet Gimja. Welcome, welcome. Progressive Pockets is a place where you and I can spend a few minutes brainstorming how we can access more of our power. If you're like me, you're concerned about what's going on all around us, the rolling back of women's rights, the exploitation of the earth, the systematic oppression of Black people and other people of color, income inequality, the list goes on. And if you're like me, you vote, you protest, maybe you write letters to your congressperson, you're fired up and you're engaged. Maybe you even have a career serving others. You're looking for opportunities to stand up and say, enough. This is not the world I want. We have power to change things around us that we don't like. And on this show, I'm working hard to explore the power of our wallets. I'm talking about where we invest our money, where we donate, where we bank, and how we shop. Shopping sustainably is something that's on a lot of our minds. We live in a time when it has never been more convenient to buy clothes and household items and food and really almost anything you can imagine and have it delivered right away. Sometimes I think about how I would try to describe our modern world to my grandparents. Our people and our planet have paid a high price for this convenience. Communities have been exploited in the name of low prices and instant gratification. That's happening within our country and with people in other countries. The people who manufacture our products, harvest our crops, build our homes. And as it often happens, as people have been exploited, so has our planet. Corporations have been allowed to extract and extract and extract natural resources and to pollute our environment with the byproducts of unsustainable production. So it makes sense that a lot of us are looking for ways to be more conscious in our consumption, to think twice before we buy, to think twice before we throw it out. And when we shop, we're looking to make more sustainable choices. Naturally, lots of badges have sprung up to stamp a product sustainable or socially responsible or green. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about the 1% for the planet pledge. This was mentioned super briefly in a previous episode. I believe it was episode 83 about Warren Buffett's giving pledge. I made a note that week to come back to this topic, so here we are. Let's dig into the 1% for the planet pledge. In a nutshell, 1% for the planet members have committed to donating at least 1% of annual sales directly to environmental organizations. And then the 1% for the planet organization checks the receipts to make sure they really did it. It was founded in 2002 by Yvonne Chouinard, founder of Patagonia, and Craig Matthews, founder of a fishing supply store called Blue Ribbon Flies. So it's just over 20 years old. There are over 5,000 companies participating, including Tazo, that's the tea company, Boxed Water, OXO, Tandem Coffee Roasters, Avocado Mattress Company, Beeswrap, Cotopaxi, and lots more companies. The companies that are members of this 1% for the planet pledge are located in over 100 countries. They have certified over $600 million in donations to environmental organizations in these past 20 years. You know, I love to read an annual report. So the most recent one I could find for 1% for the planet was for 2022, which was their 20th anniversary. In 2022, the pledge resulted in $66 million in donations going to environmental organizations. They had a couple of global meetings for members that year. In addition to the 5,000 companies that are members, they also have about 1,000 individual members. Anyway, there were a couple of global summit meetings in Los Angeles and in London. The founders even attended. And when I was reading quotes from the attendees, it sounded like a lot of the value is in being around other founders with similar values. So if you're listening to this and you're leading your own startup, I'd encourage you to surround yourself with other founders with similar values. One of the founders who attended one of the global summits called Values Contagious, and that made a lot of sense to me. In terms of their financials, I did appreciate being able to see, at least at a top level, how much they are bringing in through contributions and grants, membership fees, and then how much they spend in their administrative expenses. For me, I'm rarely pressed about how much a nonprofit spends on administrative expenses. What I tend to be more frustrated by is the amount of money that a nonprofit is holding on to for the future. At some point, it starts to look like wealth hoarding. And so in the annual report, I was keeping an eye out for this. I saw that at the end of the year, they were left with just under $5 million. So I'll probably keep an eye on that number to see where they go from there. Whenever I research these episodes, I always try to read and interview people who work in these fields. And one thing I keep hearing from those in the nonprofit space is that they're always concerned that the money will dry up. Donations or grants will dry up, and they'll suddenly have to shut down operations and not be able to serve the communities that they're dedicated to. And while I can absolutely understand that, I mean, we've all seen how certain causes come in and out of fashion, I'm always going to prioritize helping people today. There's keeping some money on the books to ensure that if a funder is late or times get lean, that you can keep the doors open a little longer. But I believe nonprofits are going to want to stay vigilant that they're not crossing over into wealth hoarding. When it becomes about making sure that the legacy of the nonprofit or the foundation is being prioritized over helping people who are drowning today, that's where I see the problem. So I'm curious about the amount of cash they'll keep on hand, especially given that in 2022, they launched their Planet Impact Fund. So let's talk about that. The Planet Impact Fund is designed to accept donations and then invest those donations into innovative environmental solutions. Those investments will generate returns, which will then be reinvested back into even more innovative environmental solutions. So what they're planning to do with this fund is to disperse 10% of the money annually. I struggle a little bit with this because I don't think money is fundamentally the problem. I don't think that a lack of money is why our climate is being destroyed. I think it's unchecked greed. And when I think about the members of this pledge, they are the corporations. I mean, they're literally the people that and the organizations that have the power to push for systemic changes, to push for regulation, to hold other companies and other founders that don't have their same values to a higher standard. So I'm going to keep an eye on this Planet Impact Fund. And, you know, just like anyone else, I reserve the right to update my thoughts about it as I learn more and as they begin to really operate. But as of now, at least it doesn't seem harmful, right? Famous last words, I hope not. In the meantime, the 1% for the planet pledge continues on. So next time you're shopping and you see a product with that 1% for the planet badge on it, you'll know that 1% of that company's revenues are being donated to environmental groups. So I hope that informs your shopping with all the badges and certifications that are out there. So let me just recap very quickly. 1% for the planet is a commitment that about 5,000 companies have made to donate 1% of their annual sales to environmental work. It was started by the founders of a couple of outdoorsy gear type of retailers. They also launched the Planet Impact Fund in the past few years, which is designed to invest in innovative environmental solutions. And finally, next time you see a product on the shelf with the 1% for the planet tag on it, you'll know what it means. And if you want to donate to a fund that's investing in these innovative environmental solutions, definitely look up the Planet Impact Fund. If you have a few more minutes, I know today's episode was short and sweet. I love those episodes. I think you guys probably love them too. I want to suggest another episode that you might enjoy. Back on episode 36, there's a whole discussion on greenwashing and how to look out for it. Greenwashing is when a company is flat out lying about how green a product is, or they're insinuating that they're making these green efforts that either they aren't actually doing, or they might be obfuscating the real harms that their products are creating. Let's end with a quote. This one comes from Jane Goodall. "You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make." All right, that's it for today. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Drop a note to the podcast anytime. The email address is progressivepockets@gmail.com. Or you can go to the show's website, progressivepockets.com, to leave a voice note or to fill out the comment form. Lots of ways to get your ideas or questions to me. I'd love to work on whatever topic you're thinking about these days. Take care, and let's talk again soon.